A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources with Lloyd Matheson.
The sky is blue. The sun is shining. It's a great day for government to take over baseball. Maybe, maybe not. A recent opinion piece in the New York Times argued for the federal government to take over baseball. But we want to get into what that all looks like, what that actually all means. Helping us do that is Mark Hyden. He's the director of state government affairs for the R Street Institute. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. So when it comes to baseball, the first thing I want to know is, does this have, can we get rid of the designated hitter? Like, if the government's going to get involved, we need to start with getting rid of the designated hitter, which is just an abomination to the game. But this probably is not where you're headed with this.
Not quite. Now, I'm a big National League fan. I love my Atlanta Braves. So I oppose a designated hitter. But to the main topic of the hour, the 15 minutes, this New York Times piece that suggested that the federal government should take over baseball was so bad that I thought it might have been parody, because urging the nationalization of a sport, a sport that makes tons of money, doesn't make sense to me. But they said they want to help save the sport because it's a cultural treasure. But it reminded me of Ronald Reagan's quote, that famous quote that the top nine most terrifying words of English language are, "I'm with the government and I'm here to help."
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's so interesting that you know, so many do look to government to solve all the problems, whatever they might be, that suddenly baseball gets thrown into the mix there. And obviously baseball has its challenges, and it has some interesting exemptions as from the federal government. How does that all play in?
Well, you know, I mean, baseball enjoys a lot of tax benefits, whether we're talking about stadiums or whatnot. Everyone wants to lure them to their city, but this is a very rich sport. They get billions of dollars. The New York Yankees, I think, is worth about $6 billion alone, so you can only imagine how much value is of the whole entire sport. But what we're seeing is there are some concerning trends. So game attendance has been going down for some time, and TV viewership is pretty bad. But when you mix that in with the fact that a lot of people are moving away from cable TV, which is who gives sweetheart deals to baseball clubs, people are moving to Netflix and things like that that don't include baseball in their services. So the author of this New York Times opinion piece says, hey, they may go bankrupt even though they're super rich right now. The government needs to go in and save them because they're a cultural treasure.
And while baseball is a cultural treasure, and there's nothing quite as nice as being out live at a baseball game, there are just few things that transport you to a different place. But I think as Walter wrote in that piece, this fear that, you know, if it's left to fend for itself without government intervention, it's just going to disappear, to me seems to be much more part of the problem than it is the solution.
Oh, absolutely. Baseball pre-existed radio, it pre-existed TV, and those were some of the golden years of baseball. And it will continue to exist in one form or another, but this is a private entity. We should allow it to compete and evolve into whatever it needs to be to continue to be profitable. But to ask the government to get involved, well, that would make the sport about as much fun as a day at the DMV, which I don't think you or your viewers or your listeners are too interested in. Because no one, and I've never met a single person that said, you know what would make baseball more fun? We need more government intrusion. So, no thank you, government. You can't even balance a budget. You haven't done that in 20 years. You can't fill potholes. So, I don't think you can run baseball better.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question was, you know, the federal government hasn't balanced a budget in several decades now, and we're running at record debt and deficits, and we're spending more that is causing more inflation. How can they possibly think that having government take over baseball, and I can only imagine what the lines would be at the concession stands if it was run like the DMV, but how do they expect a government who can't balance anything to take an industry, Major League Baseball, flush with cash, and somehow make it better?
I mean, they wouldn't be able to, and there's no reason why we should expect the government to be successful at this. But when you look at the plan in that New York Times opinion piece, which is, it's just laughably bad, he suggests that the government should buy out all 30 teams at knowing that taxpayers would lose money on that. Then the coaches and the players would become federal employees, and the managers of each team would be a statewide elected official, which I just find completely crazy, and then C-SPAN would have the exclusive rights to broadcast games. Now, I've got nothing against C-SPAN. They do some great work, but baseball and entertainment, probably not their specialty, and I think all of this would spell doom for America's pastime.
Yeah, I think that would definitely not be helpful to the pastime. If you really want to save it, I think you can just go buy some peanuts and Cracker Jacks and just go enjoy a game yourself. Turn your phone off, have a conversation with whoever you're sitting next to, and I think I know that you noted in your piece, George Will, you know, talking about baseball with no clock, no ties, and no liberal intrusions into the organized progression is definitely the right path. And there's probably a few other sports that could probably benefit from a little bit of that as well.
You know, absolutely. And I was at a game, I think, the day before when I was writing this piece, and I was talking with people there, and they just thought it was crazy. Like, baseball is you know, as American as apple pie. So are many other sports. But it's not the government that makes it good or even better. I would actually like to see us go back to some of the gritty beginnings, at least some of the gritty beginnings of the competition that we had, and go back to what the sport really was about. And it wasn't about multi-million-dollar deals. It was about competition. It was about athletes. It was about the city that you were from. And I would like to see a little bit of a return to that, not government intrusion.
Yeah, and I think there's no better example of that than just last week of when in an era of deep division in our country, that every single player, every manager, every coach, every umpire wore the same number of the same Dodger blue color. 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. And I think it's important to note, as we're talking about government taking it over, Jackie Robinson crossed the color barrier, broke that in 1947. It took 17 more years before Congress did any kind of meaningful civil rights legislation. I think that's as far as you have to look to say, I think baseball will be much better on its own than if we're waiting around for government to get it done.
You bet. And you know, when I was at the Braves game the other night, you know, it could have been to the left of me, the right of me. It could have been liberals. It could have been conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, whoever. But it wasn't a hyper polarizing environment unless they were supporting the opposing team. But it brought us all together. You know, we're there to see a good game, have a beer or two and eat a hot dog and just enjoy it. And I think there's something beautiful in that that transcends and goes beyond this hyper political world that we have to live in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Hyden is Director of State Government Affairs for the R Street Institute. Mark, always appreciate your perspective. We're going to go ahead and step aside for a quick commercial break as we've been covering the Washington, D.C. Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has reopened for a public open house. Former Oregon Senator Gordon H. Smith will join us to talk about what's happening back in Washington, D.C. coming up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.